to encourage you to open Gospel of John. How many Gospels we have in the Scripture? In the Bible, especially New Testament. How many Gospels?
Four.
All of them are talking about the life of Jesus. Why one Gospel was not good enough? Why needed four of them? I believe because every disciple have seen Jesus in the miracles or preaching from different perspective. If you know the backgrounds of all the four Gospels, you will see every Gospel is written maybe to certain to a different group of people. Certain Gospels like Matthew is written for Gentiles. Some are like John is more written in order to approach Jews, people who have more knowledge about God, more about prophecies. And when you could, for example, Mark, it's a very simple gospel. The Gospel of Mark was written by whom? Who was the author of the Gospel of Mark? Mark, of course. Yeah, I'm just... Yes. Mark, was Mark, the author of the Gospel, a disciple of Jesus Christ? Was Mark a disciple?
No.
No, you have to know. Mark was not a disciple. How come he's writing gospel about Jesus when he was not even disciple? And he was converted. He was a friend of Peter. In his house, that was the upper room, when the disciples have a meeting there. And after Jesus, when the fire came from heaven during the Pentecost, all disciples were where? In the upper room, in Mark's home. Mark, we believe, was influenced by Apostle Peter. Peter has told all the stories about Jesus. And Mark decided to write his gospel. For that reason, it's very short, very direct. And very often for the new beginners, we are encouraging to read Gospel of Mark as the first gospel. Because it's very natural, very short, and very straight. But Gospel of John is very important as well. In Gospel of John, I find seven statements, I am, of Jesus. Seven statements. I just want to lead you through them, and I would like to the seventh one a little bit to spend more time this morning. If we can open John 6:35. Gospel of John, chapter 6:35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and who believes in me will never be thirsty. Okay, Jesus is saying here, I am, first I am what? Jesus says, I am the bread of life, not just ordinary bread. You know, in that chapter, Jesus speaks, he's comparing the manna or the bread which people of Israel have received for 40 years in the desert. The people of Israel received, but he said, I am the spiritual manna. I am better bread than your forefathers have received in the desert. Jesus, I am the bread of life. That big I am. Do you remember when Moses was sent by God to go to Egypt to deliver God's people? Moses asked, okay, tell me, Lord, what is your name? Because Egyptians believe in many gods. You know, they will ask, which God sent you? What is the name? And what God says? Yahweh, or I am who I am. You know, Jesus is using the same. I am. I am the bread of life. And those who are eating, or those who are taking my words as a spiritual food on daily basis, they will live forever, God says. I am the bread of life. Another I am, it's a gospel, in the same gospel, chapter 8. 8:12. Age 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay, this is another big statement. Jesus, I am what this time? I am the light of the world. I am the light. You know, when the light is present, what's happened with the darkness? Gone. You know, if it's a midnight, if it's a dark, if you have a torch, if you have a matches, just put a light, what's happened with the darkness? Gone through the windows. I don't know, it's disappearing. When Jesus is present, all the darkness is gone. For that reason, when we pray to Jesus, when we are coming in His presence, then God's angels are coming around us, the angels of light. And what's happened with the dark angels? They are staying far from us. You know, one girl was coming this last weekend, and she had, I have a problem with demons. I have to pray with her for the demons. Demons are real things. They are not imagination. I had in Macedonia when a Russian lady who was accept Jesus Christ, and for the long time she had a battle with the presence of demons. One of the persons who are coming to the meetings as well, she said, I've got a house and I've got several tenants in that house, single persons, they got more bedrooms there. And she said, recently one man came and we noticed to live there, we noticed change. We noticed that some kind of spirits came with him in that home. And the other tenants start complaining. Noise and many other things which was not present before. You know, when you're far from Jesus, then the dark angels are coming closer to the people. When we are in presence of Jesus, there is a spiritual lightness. And the darkness disappearing, a spiritual darkness. For that reason, don't be scared of the dark angels. Just come close to Jesus and they will go. They will disappear. You know, don't try any extra energy to get rid of the darkness. Just come to Jesus and they will go. Because the darkness and the light, they can't be together in the same time, in the same place. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the light of your life as well. When you open your heart for Jesus, your mind and heart, He will bring the light. He will bring joy. He will bring happiness. And all the discouragement, depressions, and many other things will go. And chapter 9, verse 5 as well. Jesus says, chapter 9, verse 5. Night is coming when no one can work. Number 5. Did I read the right one? No. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world, Jesus says. Okay? Then, chapter 10. The third I am, big I am. John chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. Jesus says, therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. And, yes? Jesus says here, 10, 7 and 9, again, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus says, I am what? I am the gate for sheep. I am the door. I am the gate. You know, there is so many roads, so many signs to go everywhere. But there is only one way which leads to Jesus. There is only one gate you can find refuge and shelter in your life. Only Jesus. Jesus, I am the right one. If you go to any other, you will be more thirstier. You will lose your hope and you will be deceived because there's so many false promises people are making these days. But Jesus is able to satisfy you, and also He's keeping His promises. I'm the gate. The next statement is chapter 10, 11 and 14. 11 and 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Jesus says, I am a good shepherd. You know, we can talk about that good shepherd so much. Psalm 23 speaks about good shepherd. And the whole chapter 10 speaks, Jesus is really good shepherd. Who had the 99. He left them in the universe and came from heaven as a good shepherd. He came all the way in the valley of death, here on this dark planet, to grab you, you and me, to save this planet from the destruction. That good shepherd, which is pictured in Luke chapter 15, represents Jesus Christ as well, who left 99 planets symbolically in the heaven, the hosts, the angels, and he came all the way to this earth to save this planet. He risked his life and to take and to redeem us and to put in the harmony, the all 100 to be again together. And we are looking forward to that harmony and unity when Jesus comes soon. And also another, the fifth I can say statement is chapter 11, verse 25. 11:25, another great statement, I am. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Jesus was, he approached the home of Lazarus, Mary and Martha together, two sisters. They were in grief because they lost their loved one, Lazarus. And he approached them with a very powerful words. It's a beautiful statement. You know, only Jesus can say, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, Jesus says, I am the source of the life. For me, all things are possible. You know, people are laughing and said, oh, come, you know, six, you know, so much, how many tons of soil putting on the dead body. How come? But Jesus says, I'm creating. I don't need a piece of wood to create a house. I can create everything, Jesus says. I'm resurrection. I'm life. And the life. Jesus has the keys of death and the grave. He called the keys. Jesus made, he can make changes in the people's, not just the past and present, people's future as well. The sixth statement is chapter 14, verse 6. Chapter 14, verse 6. We are very familiar with this one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, on this earth there have been so many good people. Like Muhammad was a good man, maybe in his time. I don't know, I haven't. Confucius. He was a good man. Recently I read, I listened that in China now that they want to introduce more Confucius again in the school, in school curriculums. For so many years, they didn't favorize him. But now they want to return in the schools. I just watching the program a few days ago on the TV. And, you know, he was maybe a good man. Maybe he done good things to the people. But it's not just to be a good man. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was a Messiah. He was anointed. He was a Son of God. He will become a Savior. All people on this earth, they tried to be God. But only Jesus, who was God, decided to become a human. Never happened in any religion. Only in Christianity, God became a human. In all religions, humans, they wanted to become God or to be goddess, to be worshipped as a god or goddesses. But only in Christianity, God became a human in order to reach us. And only through Jesus, we can be saved. There is no other name. You know that statement in Book of Acts 4:12. No other name under the heaven given for salvation, only the name of Jesus Christ. Only, and the seventh statement is chapter 15. I just want to read chapter 15 from 1 to 11. Okay? When Jesus is using another statement, I am the true vine. Okay, the seventh statement. Let's read chapter 15, 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, or abide in me, I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. In this seventh statement, Jesus says, I am the vine. You know, I would like to spend a few minutes the seventh statement, I'm the true vine. Chapter 14, 15, 16 and 17 of John. Chapters, it's like a sermon that Jesus preached just before he was arrested. Like Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, three chapters are one big sermon on the mind of Beatitudes. These four chapters are chapters like a final word, final, I can say, a sermon which Jesus preached to his disciples before he was arrested, and then he was taken to the court and he was crucified. And it's very important. Jesus, he has given instruction to his people about unity and relationship between them and God. Jesus knew what will happen when he is going to be arrested. He knew that all of them will reject him or leave him. For that reason, Jesus is a prophet. He saw the future of his church, and he prayed in chapter 17 the unity amongst the God's people. But in chapter 15, he wanted to emphasize that unity, which have to be between Jesus and us and God's people. And talking about the relationship and unity, he would not be able to take better illustration from already mentioned above as we read about vine and the branches. He says, I am the true vine. By telling that illustration, Jesus has underlined the importance of the unity between us as the branches and him as a vine. As the branch depends upon the vine for growth and fruitfulness, we are just dependent on Christ for everything we need in our daily life. From food, health, family and good friends to love, forgiveness, hope, comfort, eternal life. Apart from Him, we have no life. We have no power to resist temptations or to grow in grace and holiness. You know, there was so many attempts in history by good people who try to be good without presence of Jesus, but they find themselves short, because only when we are united, when we depend 100% of Jesus, our life really can be green and we can bear fruit. We will see the results. You know, that picture, the vine and the branches, were very much present in the Old Testament. In many occasions, God used that illustration, like vine and branches or vineyard, to present the truth about that unity between God and his people. You know, you remember that the picture in Isaiah chapter 5 that God says, Israel is my vineyard. When I came to pick up the fruit, I find not the fruit which I intended. You know, and he said, okay, I'll give extra things, I'll dig up a little bit, I'll put extra menu, I'll protect. You know, that picture is very much present. Even, for example, let's open Psalm 80, so a moment. Psalm 80, verse 8. David, he says, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. He was talking about whom? About people of Israel. He said, Lord, you know, he prayed 7, restore us, O God Almighty, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. You brought a vine. He was thinking about just a vine, or symbolically, he was talking about God's people. They were like vine taken from the Egypt, and he planted here and blessed. Vine become symbol of blessings. Vine becomes symbol of God's presence. Even Josephus, the Roman historian, informed us that over the temple in Jerusalem was a carved and exquisite gold leaf grapevine. It stood as a symbol of national unity. Also, that was a reminder for all nations that prosperity and success will come only as a result of their dependence on Him. As much people of Israel stay on God's side or united with God, they were blessed. But when they move from Him, to be obedient to Him, unfortunately, instead blessings, curse start coming. Let's couple more moments about that statement, I am the vine. 4 and 5, Jesus says, remain in me or abide in me. A branch depends upon the vine for growth and fruitfulness. We are just dependent upon Christ in order to live successful Christian life. Without being joined to the vine stem and root, we would die. Just want to quote one statement from Desire of Age, which says, the connection of the branch with the vine, Jesus says, represents the relation you are to sustain to me. By faith in Him as a personal Savior, the union is formed. The sinner unites his weakness to Christ's strength, his emptiness to Christ's fullness, his frailty to Christ's enduring might. Then he has the mind of Christ. The humanity of Christ has touched our humanity, and our humanity has touched divinity. Thus, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, man become a partaker of the divine nature. He is accepted in the beloved. Wonderful. Nobody of us can use that kind of expression to express that unity between us and Jesus, which have to be, you know, God's divinity touch us and humanity touch God, and we become blended together. Abide in me, remain in me, is the key word to our relationship with the true vine. Remain in me or abide in me means unbroken connection. Have you been talking recently on the phone with somebody when it's a broken connection? You're always, you know, missing second word. And you try to figure out what the person is trying to say, but you're just guessing. Sometimes when we talk with overseas people, if it's a bad connection, can happen, you know. Sometimes some people are having that kind of connection with Jesus. There is a knock. There is a connection with so many empty space there, which is not healthy. Abiding means unbroken connection. 10 times is mentioned in the first 10 verses in that chapter, the word abide in me. It's how important it is. A relationship with Jesus is not one-time encounter, nor is it an occasional encounter. One thing is clear, that connecting with Jesus is crucial. To remain in Jesus means a relationship that is constant, dynamic, and growing. It is a relationship lived not week by week or month by month, but day by day and even moment by moment. That relationship we can't hide, can be seen. In Romans chapter 8, let's go to book of Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Paul speaks about that relationship very clear. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Paul says, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. When we are connected, then our old man is dead, according to the Bible. Galatians 2:20. You know that wonderful scripture, Paul's experience. Galatians 2:20. Yes, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The preacher, Danny, last weekend, he mentioned about Lucifer. Why he fell from heaven. What was the fault? He said, I am going. And several times he read, I am going to do this. I am going to be. He was very big in his eye. And that big eye, he passed to the worldly people. And you can say, there's so many I to their I myself, you know. I, me, and myself. We got iPhones. We got what else? iPads. What do we have? I. So many I things, you know. This today, I become. But Paul says here, I have been crucified. I no longer live. I gave up my I. If you want Jesus to live in your life, you have to sacrifice your I. You have to give up yourself to Jesus. He has to take the mind place in your heart. And Paul speaks, and Jesus says, when we say, Jesus said, I would like to abide in you, that means there is only place, one master in your heart, in my heart. There is no place for two or three. Even Jesus says, you can't serve to two masters, because either one will be jealous. What percentage of service the devil wants from you and me? 20%? Do you think that he'll be happy, Satan, with 20%? He wants to be fully master of your life. And Jesus wants to be fully master as well. Nobody is willing to accept partial obedience. Everybody wants full obedience. You know, how strong you are in Jesus. How is your relationship with Jesus on a daily basis? Are you connecting from Sabbath to Sabbath? When you come and take from the wardrobe nice tie and a nice dress, is your relationship with Jesus constant, alive? Or just occasional? Depends. If the things, maybe sometimes when they are not going well, then run to the church. When 9/11 happened in America, these days the church is full with people praying, reading, asking. Several months later, the church has become empty again. When the dust settles of the buildings, people move to ordinary things. How is your relationship with Jesus? When the trouble, the dust settles, are you still abiding in Jesus? Or waiting for another crisis and then run again to Jesus? There is a story about a lady who had a small house on the seashore of Ireland at the beginning of the last century. She was quite wealthy, but also quite fragile. She was among the first people in that village to have electricity in her home. Several weeks after the installation, a meter reader appeared, a man at the door. He asked if her electricity was working well, and she assured him it was. I'm wondering if you can explain something to me, the gentleman said. Your meter shows scarily any usage. Are you using your power? Certainly, she answered. Each evening, when the sun sets, I turn on my lights just long enough to light my candles. Then I turn them off. She was connected into the power but doesn't use it. Her house is connected but not altered. Don't we make the same mistake? We occasionally flip the switch on. What would happen if we left the light on always and live in the light? What changes would occur if we set about the task of dwelling in the radiance of Christ every day? You know, for that reason Jesus says, abide in me. I just want to finish with another thought here. In verse 5 and 8 in John, Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. You know, we can be very good plant. We can have a green leaves. We can be very tall. From the distance people can see. But what is more important, the plant to bear a fruit. It's very important. You know what's happened when the master came and he saw the fig with the beautiful green leaves? There was no fruit there. You know, you can be very good Christian. People can have a good saying. But we need a fruit. When the master came, he wants a fruit. Our strong, dynamic and lively fellowship with Jesus, it can't be unseen. It will produce rich fruit. If you are abiding in him, if you are vitally connected to him, then his spirit is going to become evident in your life, in your words, in your action. You know, the fruit of the spirit are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5:22. You know, love, joy and many others. Also in Psalm 1, David says, those who are rooted deep, they have a green leaves and they're producing the fruit. Those Christians who are rooted in Jesus deep, even when the dry season comes, even the things happen in their life which they never, you know, ask for, or the trouble comes, their connection with Jesus stay alive. In my ministry, I met very good people, but when the crisis came in their life, unfortunately, they left Jesus. Because they haven't rooted deeper in Jesus. Their roots, their faith was superficial. When everything was okay, it's easy to be Christian. When the times become tough, then that will be, we will see how deep our roots are going into Jesus. How much we abide in Jesus. In Jeremiah, another similar scripture, it's I would like this morning just to encourage you, wanted to remind you about those wonderful seven statements of Jesus, and especially that the last one about abiding in Jesus. Unfruitfulness in the life of a Christian is revealing disconnection with Jesus, who is a source of all good. It is not possible to produce fruit without being connected to the stem. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You cannot bear fruit without him. But in order to produce a fruit, the plant or the fruit has to be pruned. And Jesus speaks in that chapter. Jesus is the man who we can be trusted. He can take away from our life things which are not good, and he can bless what is good. I just want to finish with the thoughts. How is your connection with Jesus today? Are you rooted enough deep in Jesus? As a Christian, we know from the Bible that tough times are coming. Now it's time when you have to check all the walls in your house, are they okay, before the storm comes. Now it's time when you have to see how stable is your Christian house, Christian building. Not, it will be too late when the troubles start coming. For that reason, if you've been far from Jesus, I'm calling you back to him. If you've been disconnected for a period of time, ask your provider to reconnect you again. If your light is alarming because, you know, you're losing the power, maybe you have to be reconnected, battery to be recharged again. Jesus is coming soon, and he wants you to find you ready for his coming. May God bless us, and may God help us really to be always connected with him. Amen.